This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This is part of The Meat Show. There's a potential revolution underway in terms of how meat is made. It would eliminate the need to kill animals. Elizabeth Fiedler reports on this new frontier, but her trek starts in a traditional place.
Think about how we produce meat and milk. There's the farmer, the animals, and dirt. Rebecca Ruth Seidel looks perfectly in her element in a navy blue coverall and boots. She's standing in a grassy pasture surrounded by a bunch of brown and white speckled cows. And they're keeping their gaze on her while she tears apart an orange and offers them pieces.
There you go. You just keep dropping it.
Rebecca's a cheesemaker at Wholesome Dairy Farms in Berks County, Pennsylvania. Farm life is dirty, smelly, hard work. She's a fourth-generation dairy farmer, so she's used to this, and she's also unfazed by a torrent of cow pee.
My great-grandfather had cows. My grandfather had cows. My father had cows. It's our life. It's our way of life.
This is all Rebecca has known, but she's open to some scientific advancements that might completely change how we think about dairy and meat production.
We don't want to have to slaughter an animal.
That's Eric Schultze. He's a senior scientist at Memphis Meats. The company produces meat by tracking down some high-quality animals that already exist. And then
we do a harmless biopsy and bring those cells back to our production facility, and we grow them. We're making living cells turn into muscle tissue that we then can eat, which is what meat is, muscles.
The company has produced chicken and duck this way. It looks just like what we're used to, but they call it clean meat. The process requires just a tiny fraction of the land and water that's currently used to raise and slaughter cows, chickens, and pigs each year. And the process starts with cells.
We can grow them in these large vats, if you will, like you would find at a brewery. We feed them sugars, fats, vitamins, minerals, the same things that you need to grow. These cells then can use that energy to produce and turn themselves into muscle, and then that can be processed into this, you know, similar cuts of meat and products that you buy at the grocery store right now.
But how would this go over with traditional meat consumers? Would it feel too unnatural or science fiction-y? I asked my friend Marilyn D'Angelo. She's a foodie, and her grandfather was a butcher.
I like pork roll and scrapple. I mean, a good roast with the good fat, and it cooks all night. What else? A nice pork loin, you do a little rub.
Would you eat meat that's grown in a lab?
I guess it depends on how it's prepared. Maybe. It's bizarre. It's a whole new, I don't know. I guess it's a little weird, but I would probably still eat it.
I was kind of surprised. I'm a vegetarian, and I might be willing to try it, but I can see it being a really tough sell for a lot of people. These clean meats aren't available yet, and it seems like many people haven't thought much about them, other than that it's kind of weird. So I asked Lars Perner. He's a marketing professor at the University of Southern California.
This is not just an area where people would think rationally. A lot of people at an emotional level may still not feel comfortable, and it may take a while with the perceptions people may have that this is somehow not real food, that this is sort of a Frankensteinian kind of concoction.
Still, Lars says he would eat it. He thinks many consumers probably have an idealized image of traditional farming, with happy animals frolicking in a pasture. That's the image we're sold, but that's not what most farming looks like.
In these modern kind of factory farms, you often see very artificial conditions. You also have a lot of cattle being raised on feedlots, and in the United States, many cattle are fed corn, which is really not a natural food for cows. And there have been all sorts of enhancements done over time to make meat production more efficient, to get greater yields. So it's already highly artificial.
So jumping from there to a petri dish may not be that big of a leap. And the people making meat in labs say it could actually be healthier than the traditional kind, because it can be produced in a sterile environment free of antibiotics and growth hormones. Eric Schultze from Memphis Meats says the chicken they make tastes just like meat you'd buy in a store because it's fundamentally the same thing. The products aren't on the market yet. Part of the challenge is bringing the price down. Right now, it costs about $6,000 a pound to produce, but that number has been dropping drastically over the last few years. Eric says farming from animal cells has an advantage.
In conventional farming, you have to grow everything else that's attached to the muscle, the cow itself, right? The bones, the brains, and it has to maintain that and grow and grow and grow until it's slaughtered. We have to produce muscle. That's it. Our cells only do one thing, and they do it well, produce meat. And we can optimize the environment in which they grow. The cells themselves can be optimized to produce meat more efficiently.
If people buy into this new way of producing meat, it could have a big environmental impact. But it doesn't necessarily mean eliminating conventional farming. Here's Rebecca Ruth Seidel, our dairy farmer, surrounded by her living, breathing cows.
I see cellular agriculture both as a way of increasing the availability of food in a growing population and also making traditionally raised products, traditionally raised animal proteins, a niche market. Right now, we've seen the effects that the organic label, the grass-fed label have had on the food market, where you can specialize and request and get a higher price point. I think this is just an additional level of specialization.
She knows there's strong resistance from some in the farming community. As companies continue to push science to create not just meat, but also milk and eggs. Rebecca's family has been in this business for generations, and change is always part of the process.
And the way we're consuming animal proteins right now, I look at skim milk, I look at industrially processed yogurts, I look at egg patties, chicken breasts, hamburgers. All of those are constituent parts of animals that don't necessarily need to come off a living animal.
And get this, Winston Churchill said the exact same thing decades ago, anticipating that we would one day escape the absurdity of growing a whole chicken in order to eat the breast or wing. For The Pulse, I'm Elizabeth Fiedler.